Grab your gardening gloves as we dig into the world of ecological restoration. In this episode of Geographical Thinking, Heather Shibley shares the initiatives and strategies employed by the Network of Nature to create a greener, more resilient world. Welcome back to Geographical Thinking. I'm Michelle Brake, and I'll be your guide as we explore ideas, stories, and conversations through the lens of geography. In this episode, I'm joined by Heather Shibley, a landscape architect, ecologist, and arborist from Dugan & Associates. Her work includes supporting the Network of Nature, a national initiative that looks at connecting people to plants across Canada. Thank you for joining me today, Heather, and welcome to Geographical Thinking.
Oh, thanks, Michelle. Yeah, I'm so pleased to be here too.
How are things going? Is this a busy time of year on your end? I know plants never sleep, but...
Well, I guess some do, but yeah, winter is typically slower, but it has not been in recent years. So yeah, we're still busy. However, spring is definitely where it picks up, where we start to go out and inventory the landscape.
Awesome. I guess with the idea of springing forward and building things and starting new growth, can you tell us a bit more about how the Network of Nature got started and how the work being carried out under this initiative? What does that look like?
Yeah. So the Network of Nature is a collaboration between, and bear with me here, there's a few partners, Canadian Geographic, Green Communities Canada, Wilder Climate Solutions, Vineland Research and Innovation Center, Your Forest, and of course, Dugan & Associates. And we've come together organically over the past 3 or so years with a shared goal of equipping Canadians with the resources they need to begin restoring biodiversity in their backyards and where they work and play. We see a few roadblocks that we'd like to remove to help Canadians begin to restore biodiversity. I can think of a few, like access to purchasing native plants, like helping education with which plants are locally native and which of these native plants may best be suited for planting. And we have a where to buy map on our website that lists native plant nurseries from across the country. The David Suzuki Foundation has helped us incorporate additional information into this map, such as which nurseries avoid using neonicotinoids or avoid selling invasive species. And I think this helps Canadians who aren't well versed in native versus non-native versus invasive species.
No, and that's really important to hear kind of what the broad scope across the country looks at. I know I've personally had a chance to look at the plant nursery maps, see what's near me, found out that here in Wolfville, Nova Scotia, just around the corner, the botanical gardens do a planting day once a year where they give out plants to the community, which is really cool.
Oh,
but
that's great.
Right? I know. It's great to see what are the various things that we're pulling from with the map that you guys have. And with change constantly happening around us, having an initiative like this, focusing on green spaces and species preservation is so important. How did this Network of Nature come to be in its current form? I know you said there's a lot of collaboration between so many partners. I'm interested to hear what happened to get to this step.
Yeah. Well, I think it was back in 2018 when we at Dugan learned that Evergreen, which is a not-for-profit that supports like schoolyard greening, could no longer continue to manage their native plant database. And this happens to be one of the earliest online native plant databases in Canada. So we proposed to become the custodians, like ensuring it would remain a freely available resource. So once Evergreen transferred the database over to Dugan, we renamed it as CanPlant, and then a couple of years later, to our surprise and delight, Canadian Geographic approached us with an offer to combine efforts under the Network of Nature. So I should note here that Dugan Associates, just for your viewers is an ecological consultancy and design firm based in Ontario, and our team's comprised of ecologists, wildlife biologists, designers, and GIS specialists. So we're basically a bunch of nature nerds who love plants and wildlife. Anyhow, we officially announced the Network of Nature with planting a mini forest in front of the Toronto Zoo just about like a year and a half ago.
Wow, that's such an interesting path of growth, starting from a plant database, shifting to an organization looking at going beyond to interact with the public. How does the Network of Nature engage with communities and individuals across Canada to promote ecological restoration and sustainability?
Yeah, I love this question because it gets to the heart of what we hope to achieve, bringing ecological restoration into the hands of community members. Everyone who has access to land, either through their work or maybe their school, place of worship, or home, can become part of a shift from the status quo, which is typically heavily managed lawns or abandoned spaces, to restoring biodiversity. And I think this holds great promise in collapsing that binary of humans versus nature, because once we welcome back various species into our spaces, as in our human-constructed habitats, we can begin to heal our landscapes and our relationships to these landscapes. And I really do believe that action leads to hope and hope back to action. These are troubling times. There are so many negative stories, and this is a way to counter that, to shift that narrative. So our first program to incorporate ecological restoration principles into urban and suburban landscapes is the National Mini Forest Program. And our team was developed, our team has developed a number of resources that are freely available to anyone interested in planting a mini forest. So these resources include a written curriculum, training videos, and general plant lists. Furthermore, Green Communities Canada, who is leading this particular program, financially supported our pilot projects with grants from the federal government and the Green Belt Foundation, which is a foundation that's based in Southern Ontario. And that was last year, and they hope to continue financially supporting community plantings this year and beyond.
Wow. So helping preserve local plant species in urban environments and planting them where people seem to have space, this sounds like the perfect pairing. Is there any specific methodology or effort that sparked the Mini Forest Program?
Yes. Yeah. In fact, it was learning about the Miyawaki method that first inspired this program. But we weren't thinking of a program when we first learned about this method. I think it was in late 2019 when my colleague, Steve Hill, tabled this urban reforestation methodology he had just learned about from Tim Dickinson, who was at one time the senior curator of botany at the Royal Ontario Museum in Toronto. Anyhow, this method isn't necessarily new in restoration, but it is novel in the urban context. So basically, the idea behind the Miyawaki method is to prepare the soils to mimic that of mature forest, nutrient-rich soils, and plant a community of trees and shrubs, and sometimes some herbaceous plants too, very tightly together. And this mimics general forest structure. I find the neat thing with this approach is that we can plant forests in small spaces, hence mini forests. Oh, and I guess I should clarify, we aren't planting bonsai doll-sized trees, but rather forest communities in small spaces.
Got it. Full-size forests, but in small spaces, not tiny forests in large spaces.
Yeah. And we have
it's very important.
Yeah. And like, because when we're first planting them, they're really small plants. So some people are like, oh, are these just like miniature trees? I'm like, oh, it's, yeah, we should clarify that. So yeah, these are full grown, you know, these will become shade, tall trees, providing shade and habitat. And we were taken with this method because it beautifully translates what we restoration ecologists and landscape architects implement in rural and larger spaces and into that urban context. And people seem to embrace this method. I suspect it has some traction thanks to Suzanne Simard's research on fungal networks and how species share resources. I should tell you too that this is a global phenomenon. We are now part of the Miyawaki Research Network, and that's run by Earthwatch UK. And this is a research group composed of academics and practitioners from around the world. And it's so amazing to meet folks who are restoring their urban spaces and people's relationships to nature from Australia, different countries in Europe, Japan, India, and North America, among other places too. It's truly heartening to witness this restorative movement in light of climate change and the biodiversity crisis.
That's great to hear how going from local to global, thinking of these different methodologies and how you've been able to grow into being part of this larger network. With all of that in mind, what are some success stories or notable achievements that the Network of Nature has experienced in the mission to create a greener, more resilient world?
Well, this mini forest program continues to build. We haven't had to wrangle support. It comes to us. So we've been focusing primarily on community and school reforestation plantings, but we've also garnered a lot of interest from municipalities and most recently from corporations. So honestly, though, I think the biggest success is seeing folks shift their understanding of what is acceptable land management in urban and suburban areas. So just to like expand on that, when we first began exploring this method, I decided to plant a mini forest in my own backyard. And just note that I'm downtown, so I don't have a large yard. And I planted a mini forest, which takes up roughly half of my backyard and boasts about just under 300 woody plants. And this is, I swear, like, this is unimaginable to most people. In a space where most people would consider just one tree, I have planted nearly 300 times that much. And by doing so, I've opened up and shared my space with myriad other species, because it isn't just what I've planted that now resides there. It's also the mushrooms, like insects and birds that now call this space home. And a personal big win was seeing my daughter immerse herself into this space by exploring the various insects that are now there. It's pretty cool having a forest in my urban backyard. I love witnessing the forest grow and evolve in the 3 years since I planted it. Like, I can barely walk through it now. It's so thick. It's like teeming with life, and it's really filled up the space. I find the big wins are learning that others are doing the same. It's such a generous and loving act to share our space with other species.
And that's, I think, a really great point, that in urban environments, getting to have that experience as both like for your daughter and yourself, it's so unique to be able to find mushrooms. Like, we don't get to see a lot of fungi growth and development, and we don't see a lot of diversity in the insects around us. It's summer, it's cicadas, mosquitoes, but seeing that there's more beyond that from what you've done in 3 years is really encouraging for what other people can do in a short time as well in their own space.
Yeah. And I think with insects too, also kind of accepting the fact that some of your plants are going to be eaten by other creatures and being okay with that, right? Because they're there as food. So it's relinquishing that control and just letting them kind of do their thing and trusting that the plants have a healthy environment to live and that they can thrive regardless of being fed upon.
And I think those are great points, that being able to thrive and without having that concern for like bugs just being bugs. They get to do their own thing. They get to live how they're supposed to live.
I know. And if you actually like take the moment and really look at insects kind of doing their own thing, I find it just mesmerizing, really. And it's kind of just slowing down and being present and really noticing all these kind of life worlds that are around us that we often don't pay attention to.
Mm-hmm. And I guess with that in mind of us paying attention and being intentional with kind of the plants and the green space around us, looking ahead, are there any future plans and aspirations for the Network of Nature, or how can individuals get involved in supporting its mission?
Yeah, I mean, the mini forest program is just the first. So Canada is a big, diverse country where planting forests isn't always appropriate. And we'd love to continue to translate our ecological knowledge into gardening realms that, like emulating wetlands and prairies and alvars in urban spaces. The way Western culture engages the landscape is just not working. We're losing biodiversity, our soils, and capacity to nurture life. Our hope, is to help those who aren't trained in ecology and botany and wildlife biology join us in restoring our landscapes. I should note too that we've been working with the National Healing Forest Initiative, which emerged as a response to the Truth and Reconciliation Commission's report. And this initiative's goal is to assist settler and Indigenous communities create space to share their truth and hopefully begin the process of true reconciliation. So there's been some synergy there, because they create spaces in forested settings. And so planting forests really works with that, especially in an engaging community. And our team takes cues from what we observe when we inventory these various ecological communities. And we hope that we can shift gardening practices to a more species equitably based approach. Like one where we relinquish some of our control over our landscapes to allow species to grow on their own terms. basically welcoming a bit of messiness and complexity into our outdoor spaces. Another thing that we've been working on is Wilder, one of our collaborators, and they developed an app named Squirrel. I think it's spelled with two I's. It's to help folks collect and sell and share native seeds, because there's a lot of pressure on native plant nurseries. So we need to involve more Canadians to restore our landscapes, not only by planting, but by also responsibly collecting seeds. And we're working with schools across the country seeking ways to involve students, learn about their local natural areas and how to collect seeds from those spaces to propagate and plant. We also have like pretty big dreams for this database. There is so much information out there, from scientific journals to, I don't know, like governmental extension notes, that we'd love to incorporate into the website. And I hope that at some point our database will include information about species relationships and coevolution, in addition to the standard aspects such as typical heights and soil requirements. And I think, to your question about how can people support, I welcome people to reach out. They can reach us through networkofnature.org. We have a website, info@networkofnature.org, that we're right now, it's Divian and Associates who reviews that email. And it's great getting inquiries. And then we either can connect those folks to other people who are doing this work, or bring them in to help. So, for instance, the David Suzuki Foundation, they had wanted to see some improvements to our where to buy map. And so we just started working with them, and that's been really great.
That sounds like a lot of great organically growing, excuse my puns, organically growing connections and community building that is seeming to take place organically, again, excuse my puns. It's interesting to see how planting is able to help bring people together in space, both with the reconciliation efforts with Indigenous communities to help create their own space and feel that connection to the land in the spaces that they are able to occupy, versus what people are doing in their own backyard. And seeing that complexity vary and then further build on that with like the Squirrel app to help people share seeds. It's interesting how everything comes together to build this bigger ecological puzzle. And then going beyond that with the database of like, how is there this larger structure to help provide some guidance? It's really great to see everything that you and your organizations and your larger community has been able to do in such a short time. I'm amazed.
Oh, well, they will be so pleased to hear that, because we often feel like there's just so much we want to do. That it feels at times like we haven't been doing that much. But for the most part, a lot of this work is happening on top of our day jobs. So, it would be great if we can start to really focus on this wholeheartedly instead of in addition to.
Yeah, and seeing the continued integration of like nonprofits and ecological initiatives coming more and more into kind of that corporate landscape space does seem to be the way that we're trending. So I look forward to seeing how exactly we start to see more of that kind of marrying in the future.
Yeah. And it's very, it's really rewarding working with community. But once we tap into corporate larger landowners, then we can actually make quite a bit of change. So yeah, that's really exciting work.
Yeah. And I guess with that, that does bring us to the end of our podcast for today. Thank you so much, Heather, for joining me today to talk about everything that the Network of Nature and Dugan and Associates have been doing. I hope you enjoyed our discussion and were able to get in everything that you wanted. I know there's so much that your organizations are doing. I just hope we were able to cover everything.
Yeah, no, this has been great. I really appreciate this. Thank you so much for inviting me to speak with you.
Awesome. And I look forward to seeing what else comes in the future. I know big plans for like how else can mapping come into the equation, and where can people start to take it more? As our gardening gloves come off and our minds brim with inspiration, we wrap up this episode of Geographical Thinking. Thank you again to Heather Shibley for her invaluable insights into the impactful endeavors of the Network of Nature. I hope you, as a listener, can take the knowledge gained from today's conversation and turn it into action, whether it's through planting native species in your own backyard or championing sustainability in your own community. If you're looking for more information about the technical side of GIS, check out the Spatial Report podcast, where Mark and Maggie dive into the latest and greatest in the world of GIS. Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep thinking geographically.